Greetings, you're listening to Rebels Remembered, featuring Caitlin DeFord and Kelsey DeFord.
Greetings, travelers across the galaxy. I am Kelsey.
I am Caitlin.
And this is Rebels Remembered, and we are on Season 3 of the animated series Star Wars Rebels. Specifically, we're going to talk about Episode 6 today, The Last Battle. This originally aired on October 22nd, 2016. Synopsis reads, on a salvage mission led by Captain Rex, the Ghost crew is captured by a unit of old battle droids determined to fight one last battle to end the Clone Wars. This was written by Brent Friedman, who also wrote scripts for several episodes of Clone Wars, specifically the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th seasons. He also wrote the episodes of Star Wars Rebels, Visions and Voices, and Double Agent Droid. Once again, this was directed by Bosco Ng.
He has directed a ton.
Yeah, I'm seeing his name pop up several times.
Yeah. All right, so the trivia this episode, the planet Agamor, excuse me, I thought I was going to screw it up, which is the planet that's featured in this episode, dates back to 1993, where it was a setting in the Farlander Papers, a entire novella found in the Star Wars X-Wing Space Combat Simulator game. This is its first on-screen depiction, though it was mentioned in The Clone Wars. So, a little backstory on the planet there. There's usually always backstory on these planets.
Yeah, there's probably whole Wikipedia pages for these planets.
Yeah, I'm sure. So, the battle droid model had been something the animation team had wanted to perfect on Star Wars The Clone Wars, but it was never prioritized. And the same design lasts throughout the entire series. The upgrade, which results on the droid more closely resembling the films, is finally occurs in this episode of Star Wars Rebels, which I found interesting.
That's interesting because I knew that the droids in Clone Wars didn't look exactly like the live action, but I didn't know that they were wanting to change them. I thought that was just a design choice for the show.
I wonder, I mean, it's probably a technical thing, but I wonder why they couldn't make it look what they wanted it to look. Makes you wonder if it was like a technological thing or...
Oh, yeah.
Returning to provide the voice of General Kalani. Did I say that right?
Kalani, yeah.
Yeah. Is Greg Berger. He voiced Kalani in Season 5 of Star Wars The Clone Wars. Again, I've never seen Clone Wars, so I had no idea this character was even featured in that show.
I didn't either. When they get to Agamar, you see, like, these downed Republic ships and things like that. So it's obvious there was a battle that happened there. But I was thinking that when I watched it, like, is this in the Clone Wars?
Yeah,
I think so. Season 5, I mean, I saw some episodes, but maybe not the one he was in. So.
In the original outline of this episode, Ezra was to befriend battle droid B1268 and nickname him Clanky. But this was cut early in the episode's production.
What do you think about that being cut out?
I think it should have been cut out.
I think so, too. I think this episode is more dealing with more elements of dealing with war and conflict. And I think adding in, here's a friend we met. He's not on the other side, but he's our friend.
I think it was a good call because, like, the main droid in this, it should be Kalani. I don't think we need anybody else.
Yeah, and there's a lot going on anyway. Sorry, yeah. Clanky.
Sorry, Clanky. the end title card has been redesigned to resemble the opening title card on Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it also uses the ending theme music, which I noticed that as well.
Yeah, I noticed that as well.
And I want to say this is the first time in the series where we get a different stylized version of that logo.
Oh, I didn't think about that, yeah.
It's stylized again in Season 4 on one particular episode that we're not going to talk about yet.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So... they're on Agamar. They're obviously... And this just starts weird to me.
It's yeah,
just
like, it does.
Hera's like, you need heal? I was like, no, we got it. Like, what are we doing? And my first thought was like, you're probably getting bombers or something. And I was right.
They're getting I was weapons. Just like, am I missing something? We're just kind of thrown into Agamar.
Yeah, I literally went back. I was like, did I miss something? No, I didn't. Okay. they're seeking weapons. Rex leads Kanan, Zeb, and Ezra to an old base from the Clone Wars, the site of a battle between the Republic and Separatist. Battle droid parts litter the grounds, and all is quiet. So it's interesting we get... one of the reasons Rex is leading this mission is because I'm pretty sure this was probably his idea in the first place. If it's like at a site where it's like an old, you know, base from the Clone Wars. He probably had that intel.
I think that's mentioned that he said, I was hoping this place would be a stockpile for weapons and things we might need. So, obviously, even if he's never been to this particular base or Separatist base, he's more familiar with the Separatists in general and how things are laid out and that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
So they're walking in, suddenly ray shields activate. I think Rex warns them before that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Battle droids, still functioning after all these years, take them prisoner. And then it cuts to this part, to me, this is one of my favorite moments in this episode, is, Rex is a central figure, obviously, in this episode. But when they're captured, like, first they're, like, in the ray shields and they get shocked or electrocuted or whatever happens to them. And then we see through Rex's vision for a moment.
Yeah.
Where he looks down and he's got cuffs on and he's like, what's going on? And he looks and you just see this, I'm sorry, Kalani creeped me out when I first saw this droid. he looks and sees that droid. He's like, oh, the war's not over. And like, he immediately goes into like what his brain probably was trained to do in that moment. And then he says Cody's name. And then Kanan's like, hey,
We need you awake, buddy.
You need to, like, you know.
I don't know if that was from being knocked out or just PTSD or probably both.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like I said, just being in that environment. I mean, that you're used to. You have so many experiences with people dying and you shooting and you strategizing. Like, already, I think his stress is sort of heightened.
Well, also, it also lets the audience know when we see the droid through Rex's point of view, he knows that droid.
Yeah.
I mean,
even if the audience doesn't know, he knows.
He knows. Yeah. He's aware of it and what it's capable of. Kalani, a super tactical droid, reveals that he prevented the droid shutdown command following the Order 66. So this part's kind of weird because Kalani, if you want to look at it this way, we can go into the whole thing about this.
Yep.
Is some form of AI that has learned and continue. I think they mentioned that or something about its learning capability. Mm-hmm. How it's very, very, very intelligent. It's very disturbing that he got so smart that after Order 66 happened, he was like, nah, we're gonna prevent that from happening. That's just weird.
Yeah, plus it's almost like he's able to patch in some of these into these battle droids, essentially, and give them orders. But also, like, I think he even mentions, like, well, I heard about something about an Order 66 and a shutdown command, but I thought it was just a trick, so I just turned it off. Like, you have to have, like, a lot of intelligence, like, behind, like, your tech to understand or think that, oh, this may be a trick.
And let's not forget, he's a Separatist droid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's still creepy, very, very creepy to me that, and maybe even Rex, I'm like, the war's over. There's no war. He's like, whoa. And I'm like, that, it's creepy because he's not human.
For almost 20 years, he's just been hanging out with these battle droids, I guess, expecting someone to come, and he's just ready to fight. And
to finish the war. So he wants Rex and the Rebels to partake in one final battle, which will decide who would have won that. Which is, as we know, in war, not just in Star Wars, but in the Clone Wars and everything. War in general, nobody wins. Let's be honest.
War sucks. Like, that should be the theme of this episode.
It should be, yeah. That's the theme. Just war sucks in general. So it's like a sort of form of, like, war games type of thing he wants them to do.
Yeah.
And even Zeb's like, I'm not gonna participate. And he's like, well, you're a Lasat. And he says something about their role.
They didn't play a role in the Separatist battles of the Republic.
Yeah.
And so he's like, well, you're the neutral party, so you'll be the hostage. I do like how he says rescues are commonplace with Jedis and stuff like that. True. And it's very, very true.
Very true. So since they got Zeb as collateral, they reluctantly agree. Rex kind of devises their opening strategy, one used in the Clone Wars, called the Sword and Shield Maneuver. So you have Ezra and Kanan deflecting blast, and then he would blow up the other. What am I trying to say?
He was basically, I think what he said is he called them scattering them, which means you throw out grenades and you kind of make holes in where there's a defense of these droids lined up.
It gets them past the first wave of droids, and I remember Ezra's like, oh, okay, well, we got past that. And then Rex is like, something's wrong because normally these things come in waves of these droids. Kalani unleashes... Oh, I can never say this word.
Droidekas? Droidekas.
I can never say it right. Along with another round of troops. And during this whole thing, you have Ezra looking up and sees that...
A crane of some
sort? A crane of some sort. Because they're kind of like on a little... The Droidekas are like a little walkway.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, if we can take that out, you know, we can take... We can just get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, while Ezra's doing that, Chopper, which I forgot to mention earlier, he sent out a distress signal to Hera, saying, hey, like, just think what things are going down. And he's trying... And he finds a ship to do so. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to tell Ezra, like, hey, there's a ship, and, you know... All that stuff. So basically, Ezra's missing for a little bit because she's having to deal with Chopper, which is fine. But when he, I think he does manage to use the crane or whatever. When he gets back to like Rex and Kanan, Rex like kind of chews him. I'm just gonna say chews him out. And he's like, "This is, you know, this isn't a game. You should have been, you know, I don't want to say like he went to like I don't want to say this about Rex, but." And we'll get
for
into
him,
it
for him, just like the droid, this war's not over. He's back in the war.
Yeah.
That's when Ezra said, just like that droid. Like, it's over, but you're mm-hmm. acting like it's not. Now, I will say, not to defend either party here, but Rex and Kanan, no fault of Ezra's, he didn't know that while he's trying to take out these droidekas, they're going to send another wave of mm-hmm. droids. So they're, like I said, they're basically being cornered. There's not going to mm-hmm. be any way for them to get out. Unfortunately, for Rex, he tries to dart, and he gets hit.
Yep.
When you just said that you're about to get cornered,
That's because he's thinking, but not thinking.
He's thinking, yeah, I would say he's thinking, but not thinking at the same time. But also, like, to defend Ezra, you weren't really clear on, you know, what he was supposed to do. Yeah, but, I mean, he did it. He knocked down the...
Yeah.
But I don't think he did it timely enough, I guess.
Also, I think, like I was going to say earlier, is you left your team...
Yeah.
And Rex coming from the military.
Yeah.
You don't, it's like, I think he says, like, you took too long.
Yeah.
Like, you don't abandon, like, I'm not saying Ezra abandoned him, but I think that's...
What he sort of went back to.
His frame of mindset there.
Yeah.
I think Kanan tells Ezra that this battle is personal for him, and he needs to win it his way. And then that's when Ezra makes the comment, like, just like that droid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they both have programming.
Which even Rex alludes to. He says he's programmed just like I'm programmed.
And I know that's probably a hot take if you want to get... We're not going to get into the chip business, but he's programmed.
He doesn't have a chip. He doesn't have a chip anymore, remember?
Right, true. But he still has programming. Mm-hmm. He says that.
Not to mention the... Just in general, the institutionalization that comes with being an anti-military. Like, I don't want to miss the military, but there is a routine. There's orders you have to follow. There's procedure. There's all these very... orderly things
mm-hmm.
That come with, I say things, but that come with being in the military. And so I think I had a point to this. That's sort of the programming that comes with it too, is like you're trained to kill, basically.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yep. The rebels reach the command center, but another visitor arrives, which is the real winner of the Clone Wars, which is the Empire. Now, the reason they're coming is because they intercepted Chopper's transmission, and they found out they're hanging around this planet. So that's how the Empire knew where they were at. But we had this whole... Which, we'll get into this. I was going to want to hear your opinion on this. Ezra kind of... Because they kind of bicker. Kalani and Rex bicker back and forth. Because let's go back to... Because that worked so well. Mm. You know, that argument. Ezra's kind of like the middle ground, like, okay, this isn't helping us, for one. Number two, if you didn't win and you didn't win, who won?
I love that scene, too, because I think it's the first time that's ever been asked in an animated show of Star Wars.
That's true.
Probably in other novella and things like that, of that being discussed, of you both got played, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But for have someone say that in an animated show, I don't think it's ever been said.
So I was kind of poo-pooing it because I thought it was kind of dumb, like, talk about this, but now that you mention it, like, I think Rex says in this episode, we needed to hear it.
Yeah, because I think before I watched this episode, I was like, well, I thought about this moment. I remembered it. I'm like, why did we need that? We all know it got played, but I think looking back on it, I'm like,
the audience knows it.
We know. When the audience, we know. We know what happened. Everybody knows what happened. they both got played, but I think, yeah, having that being said, to get them to work together, like, was necessary.
Exactly. So Ezra convinces Rex and Kalani to work together, as they now have a common enemy. It's also the only way they'll make it off the planet alive. So then we have this part where the stormtroopers come in, and the battle droids are being kind of, because they think he says, investigate the threat, you know, whatever, that was the order. Like, hey, no, I'm
paranoid. Greetings.
How are you? No, they don't say that, but yeah. That's basically what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's so hilarious that it's like, that what I think it is? Yeah. Well, you know the drill. Just blow them up.
The fact that they've been told, like, oh, it looks like an old Separate destroy. Yeah, you know what to do. Like, they've been trained if you, you shoot on sight. That's essentially what that told me, if you see one
exactly.
of those.
Exactly. And it's also interesting, we get to see both eras represented in this
episode. Oh, I didn't think about that.
We get the droids, the droidekas, the Roger droids, I can't think of their names, the walkers, like, on screen together.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Ever happened in anything Star Wars, animated or live action. I don't think we've ever seen that. Battle droids roll out proton bombs, so they make this plan. They're going to use the bombs and, like, put them in the front of the walkers and then use, this is kind of odd to me. I don't know how you thought
having
about this.
Having the droids, which I think, like Eric said, there's a lot of trust involved in this. You're having a droid shoot at you, but not to hit you, so you can deflect it so it'll hit the bomb, which is very weird.
I thought it was odd, yeah.
I was like, I think, I was asking, why couldn't the droids just shoot at it? But then I think Kalani said, my droids aren't accurate enough to shoot from that distance. Which kind of makes sense,
yeah,
I guess.
It was kind of odd.
It was kind of odd, yeah. But they need that. They need the cloud cover or the smoke to get away. Because a walker would see you coming and you'd be gone.
Yeah, true. The droids intentionally fire upon the Jedi, who accurately deflect their shots in the directions of the explosives. Of course, the bombs explode. They take out one of the walkers. And now they have their chance to escape. I think there's three shuttles that they managed to...
Yeah, and a couple of droids get on one. Some. I feel bad for the droid that didn't make it. Fell off the ship. My only question with this, and I think it's because the episode was already so long with a lot of things happening.
Yeah.
My question was, they get these three shuttles, right? They get out of the cloud cover, and they immediately just leave Agamar. You know how these rebels work. Why wasn't there some sort of Imperial blockade around Agamar if you know that they're there?
Oh, it's an interesting question.
That was my question. It was almost like they just find Hera, and they're, you know, now we have a new Phantom.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm just like... Usually there's an Imperial blockade of some kind, but I also don't know if Price knows these are those rebels. She might have just thought there's just some ragtag rebels.
Ragtag group, yeah. I think if she had known it was...
Probably a good point. If she had known it was the Ghost Crew, she probably would have put a blockade up.
Put more
but
guns
yeah, I thought
on
that
it.
Was kind of odd. But now that we talked about it, so it makes more sense in my head now.
So they escape in the reserve shuttles. In the aftermath, Rex thanks Ezra. He ended the Clone Wars where no one else could, finding the common ground between clone and droid. Then they obviously, Katie mentions to Hera that they have a new Phantom.
Which I forgot about that we
didn't
have.
I totally forgot about that Phantom being destroyed. In this episode, one of my favorite parts of it is that I do like that we finally get to see a central focus on Rex, because we've seen, like, but it's nice we get this kind of almost loose end with the Clone Wars type of thing.
Yeah.
But also, like, okay. My question for you is, did you feel this episode was too preachy, and do you think we needed this closure for the Clone Wars?
Did you think it was too preachy? And what was it preachy about?
I think initially I felt it was too preachy, because I felt like, did we really need this? Because... I was going to say, like, a hot take.
Did we really need this? We're talking about the whole
No, I mean, did we really need this episode? I'm going to say it. When, I don't know, like, there's more Clone Wars content that came later.
Oh. I didn't think about that.
Or maybe, hang on, let me say it this way. I want to play devil's advocate here. Maybe we did need it for Rex as a character to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I think it might have been needed for Rex to move forward. It's sort of like he's confronting the same things, similar things that Kanan had to confront with the clones. Yeah. The pacing of the episode, it started strong, but then it started to lose me near the end.
Yeah.
Because I was really interested, like, oh, yeah, let's go, let's fight some Separatist droids, and, like, Rex doing his thing, and he's, like, the strategist, this is awesome, and then it started kind of losing some fire, for me, near the end.
Yeah.
It's not, like, my favorite episode of the series, but it's not just awful, yeah. I would say.
I gave it a 5 out of 10.
I gave it a 6, but you can't go by me. Yeah, I gave it a 6. I just like all of the like military stuff and the strategies and some of the humor in it. Like, was there bantering with Kalani?
Yeah, and the Roger part when Ezra's like, "Who's Roger?"
Yeah, who's Roger? Yeah, sort of poking fun at them. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm surprised no one really did that in the live action Clone Wars.
Yeah, ask that question. Who the heck's Roger?
Yeah, who are you talking about? Who's Roger? Who I do know that Rex did mention the second battle. Well, he didn't say second. He said the battle Geonosis to Ezra. Yeah. And I'm like, but which one?
Wait, there's two?
There are three.
There's three?
One is not canon.
Poor Geonosis.
Right? That planet. Gone through a lot. We'll still go through a lot. Yeah.
I also like how Rex, not only dealing with the PTSD stuff, but he still, I think we mentioned this before about him. This man is a war veteran.
Yeah.
And he's old. And I love that moment where, it's kind of sad though, where the droid Deckas corner him. They kind of pin him down and one overheats and just explodes. And Kanan's like, well, that droid was old. It just overheated. And he's like, well, just like me.
Mm-hmm.
That was really sad.
Yeah. Plus, I was like, I'm glad they explained that, because it almost looked like he just took it out with his helmet, which is pretty badass if that's what happened. They're like, oh, it overheated. I'm like, oh, well, that's not fun. That's not as fun.
All right, so this activity is more of a discussion.
Okay.
It is called Incoming Messages, which I think we've already talked about a couple of themes, besides War Sucks and messages in this overall episode. So the question is, so there's two parts to this question. So first part is, what messages does this episode convey about war and conflict?
Probably the one thing that comes to mind, I'm just thinking of off the top of my head here, is when Kanan says war leaves scars, some that you can't see. Which we've seen before in the first time that Rex and his other two comrades were introduced.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the messages as well. We see Rex struggle with the mental, the mental stuff from being in conflict and being in like a full scale war.
Mm-hmm.
That would be one of the messages. I think the psychological toll that it takes on a person.
Let's see. What would my message be? I think in this episode about war and conflict. Probably the message of in war and conflict, there is no real winner. Which I've already mentioned. Like, you can look at World War II, where we won. Yes, we won that war. But think of all the people that died, that we lost.
Mm-hmm.
So did we really win? You could juggle that.
Yeah, especially with a lot of the World War II, with the island hopping stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can have conversations about it, like, how much is someone's life worth?
Yeah.
And if it's someone's life or taking a heel, you know, which, that goes back to a lot of military gamuts. It's always taking that hill. Mm-hmm. Is it worth your life? But I think also you have to think about the mindset that person's in. It's like, oh, well, I've been told to do this. Or I have, for example, Kalani. I've got this very programmed, probably, this duty devotion to this particular group and their ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm willing to die for those.
And the second part of the question is, how does war and conflict contribute and relate to the larger Star Wars saga?
Oh, geez.
So that's a pretty loaded question.
Well, it's called Star Wars, so war and conflict, I think, are always, a part of it, not just, you know, we always hear the terms like good and evil, the struggle within yourself, the struggle physically when you're fighting in combat, how does it contribute? It would be interesting to get Lucas's ideas about war.
Yeah.
In particular. That would be interesting conversation to have. Yeah. Honestly, unfortunately, going back to the other question, I thought about Vietnam quite a bit.
Yes. Controversial war.
Controversial war. Still today. And, you know, when you get, no, I'm not gonna go preachy, but you get politicians involved, to spread something that may or not be true and get people killed. I feel like there is, unfortunately, even though people didn't like it, I think there was a lot of political undertones in the prequel series led to the Empire becoming what it was.
Yeah, definitely, I agree. War and conflict, to me, is, there's a lot of things in Star Wars that make it what it is. I think those two, war and conflict, is why we have a story. Like,
yeah, that's true.
You can look
that's
at it that true. Way. Like, yeah. If you didn't have a war or conflict going on, what's the overarching theme? I mean, like you said, it still plays into good and evil, but like I said, there's also family, there's relationships, there's all other things in Star Wars, but those are the two. Like, if you have a Venn diagram, those are the two big ones. Because that's the setting that everything is the backdrop that everything is set up against.
Yeah.